Mobley pioneer, Miss Margaret Twist.
Hey, thank you. Well, thank you, boys and girls. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How many of you were born here in Belgrade? Well, a lot of you were. Okay, thank you. Well, I was not. I was born in another state. Do you know what state you live in?
Florida.
Yeah. What country you live in?
United States.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I was born in Virginia. You know where Virginia is? Have you studied that country, or the state up there? It's all the way up to here. And I lived in a little town called Knoxville. And it was about 35 miles from the capital. You know where President Reagan and the White House and all that is?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I was born. And my father and mother were also born in Virginia, not in that town. But anyway, my father, when he became old enough then to work and everything, he had a store, a grocery store, kind of an all-around store, you know, general store. And so it was there in that town where I was born. And so when I was about 2-3 years old, our store was next door to the house. There was a fence around the house with a big wooden gate. And so my father was smart enough to know to put a weight, like a brick or something, on the gate, because I would go out through the gate. I could walk out there and do it. So they discovered they better put something on that gate to keep it from me opening it up. Well, guess what? That didn't stop me. Guess how I got out? Climbed over it, right, and went down the street and down toward the railroad tracks. And there was a lot of fast trains that came through there. Well, when they found me, they were just scared to death almost. Well, something else had to be done then, because I could climb over the fence. Well, guess what my daddy did then? He drove some nails on the top of the fence and cut the heads off. Guess what that did? That's right, I'd get hung if I went across the thing. So I didn't do that anymore. If my mother would take me over to the store, she'd dress me up in the afternoon and set me up on the counter, maybe, I guess. And some of the people that came in to sell things to my father, they also would have these little silk handkerchiefs. And so they would always give me a little silk handkerchief and things like this. Well, and I thought that was real neat, see. Well, anyway, so we stayed, excuse me. We had a doctor friend that had already been living here in the area and came from Virginia. And he already was here. His name was Dr. Leatherman. And he had a house here and everything. And so he talked my father and another relative of mine, which was the name of Hooker, Mr. Hooker, and told him about this wonderful country down here that he thought was going to be very exciting and things to do, growing and things like this. It'd be just real good. So finally, my father and the other man came down in 1919 to see, well, just what did it look like, to see where they wanted to go down here. And so they came down, looked it over and everything. And so then the next year, they decided to come. So we had to travel first by boat. So from up here in Virginia, we went on up into the next state around Baltimore. And there's where we caught a boat. You know these great big boats that you see out in the ocean, these big steamers? That's what we got on. One of these big steamers. We packed all of our clothes and dishes and everything that we had to bring with us on this boat. And we came down, and as we came down around the capes here, it got very rough water. And pretty near everybody on the boat got sick, real sick, and everything, except this doctor. He had traveled this at times, different times, and he was able pretty closely not to get sick. But anyway, after we got past the rough water, then it got better. But we traveled all the way down came clear down to Jacksonville. You know where Jacksonville is? In Florida. Okay, from there we got off the boat, and then we got on a railroad and got on there and came then all the way down. You know where Fort Lauderdale is?
Yeah.
Okay, we came to Fort Lauderdale, and from there we got off of that train track there, and then we got on another boat, small boat, and came up the canal up there out here on the lake and came across and then into now where in the area where we live now. As far as there used to be this little town, they named this town later, they called it Chosen. Did you ever hear that word or not? Okay, well, that's before your time. All right, but anyway, we were here though. We got in, came in on the boat, and of course they had a house fixed for us as we hear. And this house was a house that was way up on tall stilts. You know what stilts are? Big tall posts. And underneath, we kept things under there. But up on the top where the house was built and where we lived was up on this little bit. So we lived there for, I don't know what length of time, not so awful long, but then until after we built the place that we finally were living into and that my daddy then later on had a store. So while we were here, a lot of high water and things like that because we didn't have the dikes like they have now, just little dirt dikes. And sometimes it'd have a lot of rain and things, and then these little canals would overflow. But when we got here, there weren't any roads. All you had to do was either boat. Or else you get in, and you know what these big old cane knives are that the cane cutters call machetes? Well, you'd have to go along and almost cut you a path to walk because there wasn't anything away from the canal much. So that's what the men, when they first came, my daddy and the other men, did when they first came here was to get so they could clear some land because they wanted to eventually, hopefully, farm. So they would go out, cut all this and pull down all these brush, trees, everything. It was just a mess. And so they did. So when they would come in of evenings, of course, when you know how you've seen these people that are out on the tractors and the dust flies and how they get so dusty and everything, when they come in, they just start, the clothes are all over. That muck's all over them. Well, that's what they had. Well, we didn't have any bathroom like you all have now. And guess where we took a bath? We had a swimming pool. You know that? Yeah. You know where the swimming pool was? The canal. The canal, right. And so it wasn't very deep then in those days. My daddy could wade across and maybe water would come up to about here then on them, the men. Well, they would jump in the canal with their clothes and all and wash off all that first dirt, you know, and everything. Well, they knew because of that canal that they were going to teach us to swim first thing. Because if it didn't, something happen to us as little children, you know. So when they came in to jump in the canal to wash off, we would go along too. And they'd tell us, well, they'd stand out there and they'd say, jump in. And we'd jump toward them. And then they'd pull us out. And that's the way eventually they kept on until they taught us to swim. And so we swam in the water then. And every day later on from when we got older, from 5 o'clock in the evening to 7 at night, that was when we swam all that time. And we became very good swimmers and everything. But anyway, that's the beginning of the part there that when we came. And so then, of course, most of us were soon going to be age that we needed to have some kind of schooling. Well, wasn't any schools to go to. So what they did was they found a lady that I think was from Ohio, and some way they got her down here to be our first teacher. And so when my father had built this other building, that he was here about a year before he built this other building, because they had to, when we had to get water to drink, the daddies had to row out into the lake and get water out of the lake then to drink. We got our mail They had to row out there in one of those islands and get mail. And so it was quite a chore. So after my father was here, about a year, they came in 1920. Well, after about a year, the doctor and some of them said, well, since my father had been in the store business, would he start a store? Because there was no place to buy things. Everything had to come out of Fort Lauderdale up the canal on a boat whenever it came. So finally he decided then he would do that. So that's when he built the building that housed the store on the bottom, and then we lived above it and everything. And so then after about another year or so, they said, well, now that you have the store, how about would you take and have the post office? Because there was no place to get mail or anything other than way out in the lake. Well, they thought it over and thought, well, maybe they could try. So, of course, if you have a post office, you have to have a name for a town. And so there was a lady that suggested they call the town Chosen. Now, see, Belgrade, in other words, it was like you were going 10 miles down the road. It was so far because you had to go either a little boat. And there was no other way to get there. So anyway, they sent the name in to the government to see if they would approve, because you have to be approved if there's no other name in the state like that that would have that name. So they gave them permission then to start a store. And so, to start the post office. And so that's when my father took it over. And he kept the post office then, finally, until he had to give it up. When you become 70 with the government, then you have to get out of the government work as far as that post office. And so after that, he had it for 56 years. And so after that, then when he had to step down, then they would just consolidate, in other words. And, of course, Belgrade had a post office, too. So then, since the towns were getting so much closer together because of the roads and everything were more, why then they let just the one post office take care of, and both of us consolidated. So then our post office was dissolved, in other words, and everything. Well, getting probably a little ahead of some of the times, but going to school, after going to school and up there on my father's front porch, it's an open porch. If anybody went down the road, you just see them because we were right out there in the open and everything. And then later on, they built a building which was about, I don't do any of it. When you're going to Pahokee, back on that road, that, you know where that MacArthur Dairy ice cream place is, building up that way? Well, right in that vicinity up there is where they built this school building that we went to. They had one big room. We had first graders all the way up to eighth grade. There wasn't a whole lot of boys and girls in this school, but that's some of them were a lot older students, you know. Anyway, and they had one teacher, and so when we had small some type of desks, but when we came up to be in a group, when she'd call first grader or those of us in the first grade or whatever grade you were in up, we had a long bench. And you came up there close to where her desk was. And you sit on this bench. And she did the lesson for you. And she asked you questions or whatever. And you had some books and things like this to read and do. We had reading. And we had math, arithmetic. And we had spelling. From there, I don't know, but they had much more. But anyway, that's what we did. And so after we moved up there, we had a man teacher, Mr. Hooker, and he had us for a length of time. And so anyway, we went there for school. Now, we didn't have playgrounds like you all have. We just had the yard, and that was it, just about. We may have had a ball. We might have had, I don't know, maybe a jump rope or so. But we didn't have equipment like you all have. But if we had a ball, we would choose sides and two groups. And we'd go and we'd go on one side of the building and the other on the other. And what we'd do, somebody would take the ball and they'd throw it over the top of the building. And so as they threw it, they'd say, "Annie over." And that meant the ball was coming. And then they'd try to catch it. so before it hit the ground. And whoever caught it, if they caught it, then they'd come, all of them come run around the side of the other building there to try to catch us, and we'd go around the other side. Well, that was a game that we liked to do a lot of. Anyway, and then another kind of a fun thing that we do, we had these, you know, these drainage ditches that they have, like right out in the cane fields, you know, the little where the water runs, you know, the little ditches and things, they're called drainage ditches. Well, we had one up there by across there from the school. It was rather wide, but it wasn't very deep water. And so guess what we did? We would, for fun, we'd jump the ditches. And we'd go way back, you know, and come flying up there and jump over to the other side. So we did that a lot of times. Well, this one time I went way back and I come running up and jump. Guess what happened? Fell right in the water. Then I had to go home and change clothes and come back again. But anyway, and then when we did have, lots of time we'd have this high water that they had built these boardwalks. Now, they'd have to build them, you know about what a yardstick is, don't you? All right. A lot of times the water would come up from the ground at least that high or more. And then they'd have to build these walks around to get from one building to the other building and then on out to where the drier ground was, that you could get on ground and walk. And so we'd have these walkways. Well, if you weren't careful, you know what could happen?
Fall in.
That's right. And many a time I'd have to go home again, change my clothes, because I slipped in the water and everything. But anyway, that's the things that we did. And so it was... The mothers knew what was going to happen if we weren't careful and everything, and they always were spending their time. And you know what? We didn't have any wash machines. We had to dip water out of the canal, bring it up, put it in a tub, you know, these great big old round tubs, and like you do it the night before so that they it would settle. Because sometimes there's little particles, dirt particles in the water, you know, and it would settle, or they'd put something in it to make it settle so it'd be cleaner. And then they would wash. My mother had a great big old iron pot that she'd boil the clothes in, and then we'd take them out and put them in the other waters and rinse and wring them and everything. Everything was done by hand. So you see, in those days, we didn't have anything. So don't ever let anybody tell you, just because you don't have anything, you can't do something. Because you can. If you want to, you can do it. And then a lot of people had... That's all they had. So anyway, so after we were there in, and then we had the 26th hurricane that came through. But it wasn't very bad here. It was, we had high water some. But it was worse in Miami area then. Then, 2 years later, then we had the terrible hurricane here, the 28th hurricane, where over 2,000 people lost their lives. Because we didn't have a dike like we have now, just those little small dirt dikes. And this happened at night. And when the wind blows so hard, it will make the water rise, great big waves. And so this is what happened. These waves came up high as this ceiling, a big tidal wave. In other words, you come across the land. And with such force, and that's what did the damage. Of course, people didn't know it was at night. They couldn't see. And that's how so many people were that were living was killed, because they had no way of communicating or letting, hardly. There was a few might have had a radio or something like that. But you didn't know anything, these things. So this is how it happened at night, and how many people, these close friends of mine, that the mother and the father, and three sisters and a baby brother in one family died because of the water. There was one sister out of that whole group that was able to survive, and they found her because she was up close. They lived up close to where the dike was, back about 4 miles back. And when they found her up on the Pahokee Road, the old Pahokee Road 441. They found her up there, and because she had long hair. Then in those days she wore long hair, and they just had to take scissors and cut her hair because it was so tangled up with dirt, brush, everything. And she hardly had any clothes on when they found her. Everything was just practically ripped off of her. So she was lucky to be alive, but she lost all her other members of the family that were living there. She had another sister she had two sisters and two brothers that were not living here. They were living in another state that, of course, didn't perish. But anyway, there's many, many families that lost their lives. Okay, then after the 28th hurricane came, I was in Miami that time when it happened. So I was visiting my cousins down there. But my mother and my brother and sister, my father had sent them out with the hired man that was working for my father up to Sebring. You know, that's beyond Okeechobee, to be up there because he didn't know what was going to happen, and he would rather just be here and kind of watch the place and not have them there in case something else happened. So anyway, they were in Sebring. After the hurricane, you get all these reports that so many were killed and everything, and my mother didn't know whether my father was living or not. She couldn't get any word for the longest time. And if you came in by the 20-mile bend to see if you could come in, they wouldn't let you come in because of the conditions that were there, and they were giving those that were there out here shots so that they wouldn't have diseases and things like that. But finally, she got word that he was all right. He said that when this happened, this hurricane happened that night, of course, there was this high water, and there was, I don't know how many were, came into the building, came into the house where he was to get out, get shelter from the hurricane. And the water started rising. And my father was upstairs in this building. The stairs, you had to go out on a little porch and go up. And so he was upstairs watching the roofs and things like this. And finally these people down below got word to him that the water was getting higher and higher and higher, that if something didn't happen, well, they would drown. So he had, of course, a hammer and things upstairs. So he beat on the ceiling and made a hole. And these people climbed up on my mother's cabinets, and they pulled them through this hole up there so that they wouldn't drown. And so he said that the next morning when daylight came, he looked out, and he said he didn't know whether he had moved, the building had gone clear away, or whether everybody else had moved. He couldn't see any landmarks, hardly anything. So he didn't know for a while what had happened that night. The doctor's house was just on one side of us. It was on a cement foundation. And the house broke loose from the cement foundation and went on around and stopped down there on the railroad track. You're going toward Belgrade, there on the canal bank. But and that's what happened. So many of the houses either were demolished, moved, and whatever. But ours was very fortunate that it just one end moved a little bit off the foundation, but it stood the hurricane that time. Well, of course, then as the winds and the rains came through, so this powerful water. See, when you have wind and water together, there it's powerful. And it came in, and with this big tidal wave coming through, it just knocked out windows, doors, everything. It just plowed through it. And so when the next morning he got up and everything, here was, everything was all out. Tree stumps, everything was in the house. And when the water finally went down, there was about a foot of mud all over the floors. So yeah, there was no way of living in this building now for a while. So since my mother and my brother and sister were in Sebring and everything, of course, then I got there. And of course, we all then left and went to Sebring, except my father stayed and tried to patch up and clean up and do these kind of things that you have to do when tragedy like that happens. But I went to school then over in Sebring that next year at junior high school. And we were there a whole year. And then after that, when we came back finally, then they had a school over in South Bay. And there's where junior high boys and girls would go. 7th, 8th, 9th grade, you know. And so we went over there by bus. And then after that, then we had to go to Pahokee, because that was the only high school there was. Had to travel by bus up there. and everything. So we went there and went to school there, and then I graduated there, and then I went off to school, to college, and I went back up to Virginia, fairly close to where I was born, and went to school and went to college there, and got my degree there. While I was up there, now the first year I went, see, this is about like 1,000 miles when you travel. And so the first year I went and stayed the whole year. I didn't get to come home at Christmas. But I had an aunt and a cousin that lived about 7 miles from the college, and I went and stayed with them and everything. So, but then after that, the next years, then I was able to travel. I only had to travel by bus, because you couldn't get in by airplane. It was too far. Trains weren't good connections. So bus was the only way then you could travel. So it'd take you a good while to go there. But anyway, while I was there going to college in this town, one summer I spent the summer up there and took some other courses at another college just 7 miles from there. And then I also took swimming. I had, since we had been here and swam so much and everything, and I took and got my lifeguard certificate. And so then I could become a lifeguard. And I would do lifeguard work at some of the camps in the summertime when we'd have them, and I'd do the lifeguard work for them and everything. So you see, whatever you learn to do, you usually can find something else to do. So then after I got through, got my certificate, my degree, and I came home, and I came back and got a job here in Beckley. And so anyway, I came back and I started school, teaching school here in Belglade. And so from there, I taught boys and girls in school. And guess what? I taught also with your principal. She and I taught school together. She was on one side of the hall, and I was on the other for a good while that we taught school together. And then we had, the mother said she had old mother hen. And this mother hen wanted to set on eggs. She wanted to know if we would like to have her there at school. I said, okay. So we got some eggs and everything and put her in a box, put her inside the building there, and she set on the eggs and everything. And so in the morning, we'd come and take her off and take her outside and feed her, give her some water if she wanted. And then the boys and girls wanted to bring her back. And I said, you don't need to bring her back. Just watch. And a few minutes here, she'd come up the steps by herself and come right on back up and sit on those eggs and everything. And so she had several. We had several that hatched. And then later on, I had another mother, and our little boy was in school, and his uncle raised rabbits. Big ones, pretty ones, and everything. And so they wanted to know if we wanted a rabbit, a mother rabbit. So my daddy built us a big wire pen and had this big old mother rabbit. And guess what? She had a litter of rabbits. She had 12 rabbits. And so every day, we always had recess. And every day at recess, you could hear all the boys and girls come flying around the building because they wanted to come see the rabbits and everything. And so we had rabbits there, and we sold them. So some of them would buy them. And then your principal said, well, her boys and girls would like to raise some rabbits. So we got a mother again, and she took them over, and she had rabbits for their boys and girls. So we raised a lot of things as well. So I don't know. We kind of just quickly scoping a little bit. I don't know whether I've hit everything. But anyway.
Okay, we got Brian over here.
No, they would, because the roof is like this, pointed, so it wouldn't get up and get caught.
Right? Were there alligators in the lakes?
There were some alligators in the lakes, and where there were some in some of the other ditches around. My uncle that was with us one time saw a big one in another ditch somewhere, and he got in and got it and killed it. And of course, then they used them, skinned them, you know, and everything like that. And another thing I forgot to tell you, in the canal, after my daddy had the store, one evening, just about dark, all of a sudden, here come some Indians. If they're big, their little boats, you know, with the long poles, you know, and they would go up, and they where they were going, where they're going to eventually go to the lake, because they go up to the lake to catch otters and skin them for their skins. And then they would take them and sell them. Well, anyway, they got there about dark, and they wanted some food, of course, and everything. So they came in to my father's store. Now, Indians didn't in those days, didn't do much talking, and I don't know whether they do a whole lot yet, as far as maybe with their own tribes to do. But they came in, and my daddy's store was not like the quick checks and things like that now, that you go pick up yourself. You would come up to the counter, and you'd tell whoever's there waiting on you, say, I want some bread, butter, lard, grease, you know, these kind of things, canned goods. Well, anyway, and then you'd bring it back to the counter, and then they'd fix it up and see how much it cost you for you to pay. Well, the Indians came in, they would come up, and they'd point, one, or something like this, see? And so then, but they didn't have any money. Well, they said, they told my daddy, we be back in the full moon. You know, every month, you know, there's a big full moon, big round one. We be back then, pay. Well, so my daddy let him have it. He thought, well, maybe he'll never see him again. That's all right. He will do it. Sure enough, after waiting a long time, when this big full moon came, sure enough, here they came back, paid their bill, and then went on to the lake and catch their otters and things for the skins. So this we had also in there. Okay? What? Well, they had lumber that was brought in. See, they'd come in from Fort Lauderdale on boats, bring the lumber. Everything had to be brought in those days, too. Okay? What? Did they have cars? Well, later on we did, yes. But at the first you didn't. All you had was a boat. If you wanted to come travel up the canal, you had to have a boat because there were no roads yet. Just chop your way in and walk. Did they have motors? Motors? On the boat. Oh, later on, yeah. But at first it was this kind of motor. Row. Well, it didn't take us very long because we did it every night, see. So it didn't take us too long to learn. What?
Were you scared when you first jumped in the water?
Well, of course, my daddy and all of them were right there to catch us, so we believed they'd catch us. So we just jumped in and they'd pull us out, you know. So we knew better to go in without them at first and everything. Anybody else? I know there's a lot of things. Well, anyway, we was talking. What, Don?
How long did it take you to build
that? Well, I don't really know, honey. There's a lot of them that would get together and work, you know, and build each other's houses like that, you know, when they needed a house or something like that. So I really don't know. It didn't take so awful long, but I'm sure it took longer than what it is nowadays because you had a lot more people to work, you know, like that. But anyway, while I was thinking about, and I'm sure maybe you have it. I think you've got a tree out here, the old custard apple tree. Don't you have out here somewhere? I think you've got one somewhere out here. And it's about ready to bloom, I think. Well, in those days, there was a lot on the land. I don't remember too much other than just because they were so covered with, do any of you know what moon vines are? They have a white flower on them. And boy, those things get all grow so fast and cover up things, you know. Well, anyway, they would cover up so many of the trees and everything as well. So there was so much of that. But these custard apples, they put on a fruit, sort of a green fruit. And inside, they are sort of white with little dark seeds, kind of like an apple in a way. But I don't ever remember too much of eating them, of course, in those days and everything. But I did find, and you can now buy juice on the market that is the custard apple juice. And I brought each of your teachers, I brought each two cans of peach. And on it is a picture of the apple, like the custard apple and everything. And they are now putting it up in cans. You can go over here, out here to Quick Check now and buy it. You can buy them in small cans or you can buy it in that size. And it's very sweet, sort of whitish color. It's a very good punch. So if y'all want to hash over how to do it eventually, you can taste it all right.
Miss West, I have a couple of questions.
All right.
One, I was wondering if you could tell us, there's a lot of sugar cane here now in the county, in the West area. When you were growing up, what was there? It wasn't all sugar cane.
No, we didn't have any sugar cane. All we had, when they started finally farming, they would grow the little stuff. Beans, tomatoes, and those kind of things were big crops then. No, we didn't have sugar cane until way here, not too many years back, that we finally began to grow cane. And then eventually they had cattle. And then, of course, then the sugar cane has come in rather recently.
Another question I had is, if maybe you could tell us, is, you know, it's funny, people on the coast, on the eastern part of the county, they have an idea of what everybody was like, you know, here in Belleglade. What did you kids in Belleglade think of people on the coast? Or did you? Did you ever?
Didn't. Yeah. Didn't you think of, you're too far away. You didn't know anything about
it.
No. Uh-uh. And finally, later on, when things, roads kind of were open up a little bit, they were real bad in a way, but you would go out, you may travel by from here to 20 Mile Bend, and then you'd have a car or something to go in there. But for a long time, and the roads were real rough and everything. Now, if any of you ever get up to the bank of Belleglade, up here, you know, there's several banks in Belleglade. Well, anyway, if you go into the bank, maybe you've noticed it. On the wall are four or five big pictures painted on the wall, or painted to be put on the wall. You go in there and you look at it. Now, I don't have a large enough picture to show you, but these are the five pictures you will see on the wall. And this is depicting the beginnings of this country long time ago. And in this third picture, if you look up there, when you go in there on the wall, and you'll see a store, you'll see a car. It looks like it's on a top of a roof, but it's just the way the painter put all these different things up there, and a shed that was supposed to have been a kind of a packing house in those days. Well, my daddy's store was there, and on the top of, if you go up there and look, you can see it's faintly saying Hooker and West. And that was the store that my father had at that time. Showed a lot of water and things like this. And these murals were put on in dedicated in 84. And so if you're ever up there, you go in there. And then also on the wall that you, as you come in the door, you turn around and look. There's a picture of a great big Indian standing up there. And this lady painted this picture for the bank there. What, huh? Sure, I wouldn't have done it. Yes, I love doing it, honey. And then later on, I taught with Ms. Lively's mother. She and I taught next door to each other. And so when we finally decided to retire, well, we both retired the same year. Okay. So.
Well, Mrs. Lively's got a question.
Okay.
Did you tell us about some of the buildings that are here in town now that are pretty old buildings?
Well, it's fairly. Where the close to the library.
Statue
there of the people that is depicting the people that were killed in the hurricane. You know, there's a building right there. The old, what's called the old clubhouse. And that was an older a building and everything there. I don't remember now how, you know. And also then going to church and thing, of course, up in where my daddy's store was, they would just take boards, put them on kegs, wooden boxes like, and sit on it. And we had church, Sunday school and church there. There was no other place to go. So it was a long time before we ever finally had anything. So that's, I don't know, so many of the places now have been redone or...
Isn't that building that has the thrift shop in it now on Main Street, that was the Pierce Hotel, it was on one corner and it was on the other
side? Fear Store, yeah, that was an older building. Fear's Hotel was at the time, it was still there till rather recent, you know, that has been demolished.
Was Main Street always Main Street?
After a length of time, yes, because that road that went on up 440, like now it's 441, of course, that was the road then to Pahokee, whatever you went, you know. So it's pretty much, you know, hooked up there. And then you'd go out. Well, I don't know how far, because when you go to West Palm, you know, you turn.
Can I have your attention, please?
So, anyway, that's a lot what happened, what, honey?
Did y'all make those clothes or did you buy them?
Well, you see, we, of course, had to bring everything with us when we came. And, of course, then later on, probably we could eventually could buy things, you know. But when we first came, we used to have a boat that would come down, and this man wanted to bring people in to try to hopefully interest them into buying land to so they come and live here, you know. And so he'd come in from Fort Lauderdale area. And I know a lot of times he'd come in and he'd throw us oranges as he passed by and everything like this. Okay. Anything. What, honey? All right, now there might be, you know, Lise Cherry, Lise Lane Cherry.
Her house?
Mrs.
Lane's house is the same one that she's in.
Uh-huh, she's living in. Yeah, out there. Uh-huh, close to what used to be the old locks at that time.
Two-story
house. Uh-huh, wooden house. And not in, about two or more years ago, ours was knocked down. What?
What kind of things did your father sell?
Just general. Just general things, uh-huh. And just, you know, what most people could do.
What was a general store then? It seems like now we've got a lot of specialty stores.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. You can go to the Winn-Dixie if you want some. But maybe your dad store, you could go get some potatoes and then get some cloth. To make clothes.
I'm not sure whether later on whether he handled any kind of that kind of stuff or not. Exactly. The cloth line. I can't remember that. What, honey? No, my mother and father are dead now. Uh-huh. Now my father's only been, he's only been dead about 11 years. He died in 77, so it hadn't been too long. My mother was a little, she died about 19 years ago and everything. So anyway, what, honey?
Are you married?
Nope. Nope.
Have you ever been married?
Nope.
What do you do for a living
now? Well, I'm retired now, so I can just do anything I want to. No, I have only been retired for about 3 years now. So now I can just go and do other things, whatever I like to do now. What, Don?
Is there as many kids in the class as there is now?
Were there as many? No. We would have, in that whole school, when I first went to school in this, I'll tell you where we played Annie over, you know, in the building. We were doing good probably if we had 25, you know. In those days, because there wasn't too many families right then, you know, they had.
That's sure.
Well, just about maybe one class. What day? Oh yes, sure. Yeah, we brought all these things with us. See, and then later on, when we could, if you want something else from Fort Lauderdale, you have to give an order and let them bring it back up to you. See. My father now, when he was, it's been 11 years since he passed away. He was 91 when he died. He's not living now. Well, 91 and 11 is how much? Yeah, he's over, would be over 100 then. What, dear? What did I like to do? You mean in those days? What do I like to do now? Oh, I like to do a lot of things. I like to read, and I like to do handicraft, and I do a lot of work at the church, and go places, do things, see things other places, you know? So there's just lots of things you can find to do.
Is
Any what?
Traditions.
Any celebrations that you might have now, that you do now, that you did a long while ago when you were growing up? Anything passed on to you that you particularly treasure?
We didn't have much to pass on in those days. I can't think of it offhand right quick. What, dear? Huh? No, I have a brother and a sister. My brother lives here. He works at Pahokee Hospital in one of the offices up there. My sister lives in Chicago. You know where Chicago is?
Way up here.
And she works for Sears Roebuck in one of the offices in Chicago, in the tallest skyscraper there is up there, over 100 stories high. Nope. I like short hair. No, I had short hair. Okay. You're all going to get the bus, you don't.
Yeah, we're going to have to catch the bus. So what we can do is close up shop for now and say our thank yous. And perhaps we can all write Miss West a letter with the rest of our questions in them. What do you think? Let's hear a thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, boys, girls.